Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. December 4th, 2020. By raising ourselves, we raise the world. After the lesson, we go out into the wide world, and the whole world, all of humanity, the whole Kli of Adam HaRishon, enters between us, the 10 friends. The world begins to flow inside the 10, between the friends with whom I have connected, and brings its thoughts and desires to us. We must feel the desires of the world, otherwise, we will not be able to achieve general correction. We must understand that this is not politics, not economics, but that the huge desire of the common soul of Adam HaRishon enters between us, and influences us, so that we return to unity over these obstacles. Despite the added egoism, we connect again with even greater strength. The impressions from the big world should not push us apart. We absorb from the world only those impressions with which we can then work to correct. If we do not break the connection with each other, then the whole big world, which influences us during the day, will properly connect to us, and we will be able to correct it. And by correcting the world within ourselves, we cause its changes outside because a connection has already emerged between the internal and the external. If the world cannot divide us, and tear us, apart from each other in the 10 during the day, then we transmit our union to it and thereby correct the world. It gradually turns into a part of our spiritual part, Tsuf, its ending, Sof. We cannot yet actively work with it, but it is already becoming a useful part of the part Tsuf. So day by day, we absorb new desires from the world and transmit the power of unity to it. All humanity belongs to one Kli, one soul. By trying to unite in the 10, we thereby build the inner part of the spiritual vessel and the head, Tok and Rosh. And all other people who have not yet come to unity are the end of the part, Suf, Sof. Therefore, we must unite these desires. We live in the time of general correction, and we must think about the whole world. Therefore, we are among people, in contrast to the Kabbalists of the past who lived in a cave as hermits, in small settlements. Kabbalists have always strived for solitude because there was still no requirement to work to correct the world. But we live in a different time, and whether we like it or not, we get impressions from the whole world. During the day, we absorb its desires and must process them. And when we then unite in the 10, we must take into account that our unification also includes the desires received from the world. And when we go back to the wide world, we influence it with corrected desires, and the world changes and moves toward the realization of correction and unification. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, December 1, 2020, Work with Faith Above Reason. Criteria for spiritual advancement. True spiritual sensation depends only on the extent of our closeness and connection in the 10. Only by the force of our connection do we come closer to the Creator and receive from this action a spiritual result, a feeling of spirituality. The difference between the connection we had before and the connection that we achieve now gives a sense of spiritual advancement. Therefore, we should care only about this and focus only on this. If I did not advance to a stronger connection with my friends in the 10, I did not fulfill my duty in correction. In other words, I did not live in the spiritual world, but only in the corporeal world. The difference between corporeality and spirituality is determined by what exactly I want to promote in my existence, either my current mind and feelings or our connection in order to rise to the spiritual mind and feelings, that is, to faith above reason. We cannot ascend to spirituality at the expense of corporeality, but only above it by faith above reason. We do not need to take anything from this world except disturbances that we turn into spiritual tzelim by rising above them. And if I cling to this world and break away from the group, then I did not have the right connection with my friends. After all, when I come to the group, I forget about this world for a while. I need to constantly feel connected to the group and let the corporeal world invade my spiritual world, the group, only when I allow it. I should not fall under its power so that it absorbs me and controls me. I set priorities in such a way that spiritual development is more important than corporeal existence. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, December 1, 2020, Work with Faith Above Reason. Michael Leitman, on Quora, What is the difference between the laws of nature and ethics and morality? The laws of nature are unchanging laws of love and bestowal, which harmoniously connect all of nature's parts, and which take the benefit of the whole into consideration. By contrast, morals and ethics are codes of human conduct at a given moment in time. For instance, if harsher methods of communication were considered norms in the past, even to the point of cruelty, then the more we developed, the more moderate and friendly these behaviors became. Laws of nature are opposite to human nature, which is a desire to enjoy at the expense of others, and which is in constant growth. The more the human ego grows, the more our morals and ethics change in order to let ourselves get along with each other more conveniently at different stages of our development. However, no matter how much we develop in our morals and ethics, we always find ourselves lacking something, and more problems and crises abound in our relations. Human development gradually leads us to the need to reach balance with the laws of nature. Today, we are more ripe for the discovery of the laws of nature than ever before. Yet, how do we make that leap from being governed by the human ego, trying to adapt and observe morals and ethics in order to get along as optimally as possible, to becoming governed consciously by the laws of nature, where we harmoniously connect with each other and discover the positive forces dwelling in nature within our harmonious connections? We make that leap by learning and exercising the laws of nature in a social setup, that is, how to positively connect in society so that there will be an envelope of love and care in our relations. That is, by connecting as a single whole in human society, we match the perfection and wholeness of the laws of nature, and then come to experience a whole new kind of harmony, happiness, confidence and peace filling our lives. You have made me. If you connect two electrical wires, one with positive and the other with negative voltage, you get a short circuit. It is impossible to connect plus and minus with each other. Therefore, you need to give them work by putting a load, a resistor between them. If we work together above our nature, then we accumulate efforts between us, in trying to cleave to each other. By the fact that each person wants to adjust himself to the other, we build a mini-system of the Creator between us. After all, I treat you with love, and you treat me the same. Each of us takes the power of bestowal from the Creator, turning with it to another, building between us, a small Creator, a small system of loyal connections and then even love. This is how many systems are built between all. I am in bestowal toward you, and you are in bestowal toward me. But bestowal is already the force of the Creator, that is, we build the Creator between us, in this way, as it is said, you have made me. We build such passages between each and everyone, the property of the Creator that binds us. When everyone unites with everyone in this way, it turns out that we have built the Creator and revealed Him. That is why the Creator broke our common soul, so that we would reveal Him, feel as if He did not create us, but that we gave birth to the Creator. Thus, we become similar to the Creator and understand His plan, that is, we achieve complete adhesion to Him. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, November 29, 2020, Work with Faith Above Reason. My new article on LinkedIn, Reflections on the AJC Antisemitism Report. After the presidential election, possibly as one of the many fallouts of this fiasco, a report by the American Jewish Committee, AJC, that was submitted in late August re-emerged. It deals particularly with QAnon, which the report describes as a far-right network of people who believe the world is controlled by a satanic cabal. Anti-Semitic conspiracy theories about Jewish elites, globalists, and bankers are part and parcel of the QAnon belief system. In my eyes, this report reflects a deeper problem than the existence of anti-Semitism. There has always been anti-Semitism, and Jews have always been blamed for things they didn't do. Jews have also been blamed for things that Jews did do, but not because they were Jews, but simply because they were corrupt individuals. However, all this is besides the point. What worries me more is the fact that Jewish organizations are profiteering from the existence of anti-Semitism. They are promoting the circulation of reports about anti-Semitic incidents because without them, they would not be able to collect the funds and have the clout that they do. And although they assert that they are collecting the funds in order to combat anti-Semitism, the hard truth is that for all their purported efforts, anti-Semitism only seems to grow. Indeed, combating anti-Semitism is where all Jewish organizations fail. Exposing it is not enough. It makes us realize that there is a problem, but silencing anti-Semites does nothing to abate the growing hatred toward the Jews. A genuine campaign against anti-Semitism must focus on the Jews' own disunity and promote solidarity, rather than focusing on the anger that more and more parts of American society feel toward the Jews. Regrettably, unity and solidarity don't sell well while hatred does, so I don't expect to see any change in the strategy of Jewish organizations regarding combating anti-Semitism. You might wonder why I speak so often about American Jewry. I do it because I feel obliged to warn where I see immediate danger. I am not writing in order to change or rebuke this or that organization. I know this is hopeless, as the people who run it seek power and wealth and not much else. I write in order to warn those whose eyes are still open and whose minds are still alert to acknowledge the impending danger. The Jews have always been afflicted and tormented the most when they were disunited. The current focus of so many Jewish leaders on power and wealth, the growing estrangement of American Jews from the State of Israel, regardless of the question of the Israeli government's policy, and the extremely high rates of interfaith marriages, twice as much as before the Holocaust, are all signs of Jewish disintegration. And when Jews disintegrate, anti-Semitism rises and escalates. In 1929, Dr. Kurt Fleischer, leader of the liberals in the Berlin Jewish Community Assembly, eloquently phrased this oddity: anti-Semitism is the scourge that God has sent us, in order to lead us, together and weld us, together. Today's American Jewry is precariously similar to that of pre-World War II German Jewry. If American Jewry does not reverse course very soon, it will experience the same fate that German Jewry experienced in the 1930s and 1940s. It is not a question of if, but of when, and the answer to that question is definitely in the foreseeable future. My new article on LinkedIn, looking back at the year of the COVID. Looking back to the beginning of 2020, I see that people involuntarily accepted the COVID-forced changes in their lives. It is hard to call it a pandemic, it is more of a new force that has come into play, creating partitions between us, and setting us apart. It sort of put us in our corners and forced us to behave in new ways. We may not want it, at least most of us, but it is nevertheless a compulsory force from above. I am not surprised that COVID did this. When it just began, I said right away that it's the beginning of something new that would be with us, from now on. Accordingly, I suggested that we adapt our lives to this reality. I don't think we should go back to the way we lived before, as it was unsustainable and actually facilitated the emergence of COVID-19. If I had a say in the matter, I would say the opposite, that I want COVID to pressure us to the point where we surrender and agree to change our hearts toward each other, and if not, let the virus keep separating us, as it has been doing for the past year. The world before COVID was a madhouse, people running around aimlessly, furiously fighting one another, competing for superiority and power, and increasingly depressed. COVID stopped all that because it changed the way we work, the way we socialize, and the way we treat our families. It changed our values, and I'm happy that it did because the old ones didn't do us any good. We felt free, but we were slaves to our egos. We felt entitled, but we used it to disenfranchise others. We felt powerful, but only because we humiliated others. And in the end, we were terrified that if we stopped bullying others, others would bully us. I'm glad that COVID stopped it, and I hope it never returns. Now it's time to find real freedom. The freedom to give, to support, and to make room for others. It is freedom to build a society of sharing and caring, solidarity and cohesion, mutual responsibility and trust in our neighbors. It's time to build a new world. Now that 2020 is ending, I hope we have learned what it came to teach us, and spend the rest of the decade living out its lessons. Michael Leitman, on Quora, are there any positive benefits of laziness and procrastination? The more we evolve technologically and psychologically, the more we connect around the world and find ourselves working more and more. Societies around the world today are completely different to how they used to be. In the past, we spent most of our time at home, in villages, participating in several different activities. We did not work from dawn to dusk, or all through the night, as many do today. Today's incessant work atmosphere is a chain reaction from industrial developments in the 19th century, such as the steam engine. The more inventions we make, the more we work. It is as if we latch ourselves onto a carriage, and then have to pull ourselves along. However, this is incorrect. We should indeed work less. We would be much better off if we would sit by a fireplace, like in the old days, take our time doing things, visit friends and relatives, and participate more in social events. Moreover, most work we invest so much time and effort into today is completely unnecessary, and exists only in order to increase profits as an end in and of itself. Laziness is thus very beneficial. Laziness gives us time and space to scrutinize our next moves very scrupulously, to check whether they are really necessary or not. Laziness thus lets us act in more accordance with our needs, lessening our chances of finding ourselves running around in circles for the sake of doing something with our lives, which eventually leads to destructive outcomes. Therefore, Kabbalistic sages have such saying as, sit instead of standing, and stand instead of walking, and sit and do nothing, better. In short, the benefit of laziness is that the less we move, the less problems we encounter. Appeal to the hearts. Question: Charisma is a special endowment, an exceptional personality in intellectual, spiritual, or any other respect, an ability to literally appeal to hearts. You are a very charismatic person. Can you advise how to be like that? Answer: I do not think I am fortunate enough to attract others. Not at all. I rely on science, which speaks of the universe, of all the worlds combined, including the upper force that governs the entire universe. And I slightly open the way to this enormous knowledge for everyone that wants it. I do not have any charisma, I do not want to command, I do not want to attract. Maybe sometimes I can be harsh or rude, but this refers to the desire to be understood correctly and to only follow the path I am walking. It seems to me that if a person has a goal, then he can captivate others with it. In general, you need to do what is closest to you, what your soul desires. And then you will give a good example to others. From Cab TV's Kabbalah Express, November 6, 2020. External barriers and spiritual communication. Question: A wide variety of people are trained in integral education courses. They may include a professor, a locksmith, or a millionaire. Everyone is used to a certain form of communication. For one person, some jokes can cause complete disgust, for another it is normal. What are we supposed to do in this situation? Answer: I don't see this as a particular problem since we are dealing with an area of communication that none of them are currently in, even because of their past activities and interests. So it doesn't matter what sort of people will be in the group. There are, of course, certain stages of development that help intellectually developed people quickly grasp what the science of Kabbalah says. But, in general, it doesn't matter. If we are talking about the spiritual development of a person and the spiritual connection of people, then absolutely different people can take part in this. Question: in other words, such external barriers as language, traditions, even, perhaps, the form of clothing, cannot interfere with communication? Answer: no. This is completely out of the question. Question: and if untidily dressed people who do not observe hygiene come to the courses, is it worth making a direct remark to the person? And who should do it? Answer: the moderator. He should warn people to come in clean clothes even after work. It doesn't matter if it's a doctor or a worker from the workshop, a chemist or a mechanic from the garage. All of them should come to classes in such a way that others feel comfortable with them. From CAB TV's Communication Skills, October 14, 2020. Learn to live only in thoughts. Question: is virtual connection enough to develop an individual as a person? Answer: in the future, virtual communication will be of a different quality. It will only be the basis for the development of sensory, internal connections that cannot be transmitted through verbal or physical communication. It just seems to us that we are somehow in contact with each other. We need to establish contact with our hearts and thoughts rather than physically when we are opposite to one another and thus perceive and are impressed by each other. Question: what new sensory organs would you recommend developing for better communication through virtual connection? Answer: I would advise people to learn to live only in thoughts so that we would all try to be connected together in one thought called the thought of creation. In this thought, we would understand each other, merge with each other, and reach a connection with the thought that governs the entire universe, the entire creation, and in which we must all be included. From CAB TV's Communication Skills, October 7, 2020. A sign of perceiving information. Question: there are critical moments in life after which the amount of information that is left in our memory drops sharply. It is assumed that during the first minutes after information is perceived, about 25% of it is forgotten, after a couple of hours about 50% is forgotten, and after a day 75% of the information is lost. A teacher's goal is to diminish this loss. Is it enough if everyone in the group sums up one or two sentences or writes down a short summary of the conclusions? Will that somehow help preserve the information in our memory? Answer: no, the information will remain only if there is a constant use for it. If not, nothing will remain. Comment: many students say that during the lessons they understand everything, but they leave the lesson totally empty. My response: that's great. Question: what's so good about it? A person sits for 3 hours, listens to a lecture, and the moment he leaves, nothing is left in his memory. Answer: it means that the information has actually entered him, and is now inside him. Question: will I be able to retrieve this information and use it when I need it? Answer: if you could remember all the information that you have absorbed during your lifetime, you would not be able to think, to decide, to discover anything. You would have no voids in your emotions and in your mind in order to work with the information objectively. Your memory would be like a computer, full of data. From CAB TV's Management Skills, July 24, 2020. What will motivate people to work together? Question. Economists today point to employee motivation as one of the biggest challenges. Workplace conditions, bonuses, and salary increases no longer work. The basis of motivation has changed recently, especially in the era of coronavirus. What advice can you give people who cannot find motivation in themselves? Answer: I think we will soon come to such a state when people will start howling in anguish like wolves at the moon. Then they will understand that they need the most serious motivation, strength, and ability to get out of their absolute helpless state. They will start looking for someone who can give them this motivation, and they will come to us. Question. Research shows that a boss who has the skills to listen to a subordinate is 13 times more likely to motivate an employee to stay in their workplace than a salary is. Do you think this has a future? After all, for many, the pay is the only reason to work. Answer: No. We will reach such a state when a person is satisfied with his material condition so much that he will not have the motivation to work like a slave. He will begin to look for only a creative component in his work. I think we'll come to this soon. Question. What, in your opinion, is the most effective way to motivate a work team? Answer. Connection and the achievement of a special goal is precisely in unity, where huge layers of work on oneself and with others are being revealed. A person will begin to reveal such inner possibilities of his own and others that he will see what incredible events are taking place in and around him. Question. So people doing collaborative work will get energy from the fact that they work well together? Answer. Not only. If they are properly linked with each other, then they will find among themselves an emotional, spiritual, upper state that gives them a reward that they will not see in any profession. They will perceive everything directly from the desire for self-realization in a team. From CAB TV's Management Skills, August 28, 2020. Toward a higher spiritual life. Question. In our world, a person feels fear, joy, security, etc. Are there such sensations in the spiritual world? Answer. In the spiritual world, all the feelings that exist in our world are billions of times higher, deeper, and stronger, and a person can control them. If in our world we are born with certain sense organs and gradually develop them under the influence of our world, but insignificantly, then in the spiritual world we can develop them literally from scratch, when we simply do not have them, since they are in a rudimentary state, and we cannot use them. Starting to develop the spiritual senses, we bring them to a state in which we reveal the entire upper world, all the forces that are in it, all the variations of the possibilities of their influence on us. We feel how we influence them with feedback, enter into certain interactions with them, and start playing with them. We influence the spiritual world, and it affects us. This interaction with the upper world is called the highest spiritual life. From CAB TV's Spiritual States, November 12, 2018.